Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Well, howdy there, Internet people. It's Bo again. So today, we are going to talk about the atmosphere in the White House, according to the reporting and the hints. And we're going to just kind of put it all together and see if we can get a picture of what's going on. And maybe that can give us a little bit of insight. There's been a lot of articles about this. When you go through all of them, you definitely have a scene that's before you. You know, during the campaign, there was that moment where the Republican Party basically said that Biden was like Mr. Rogers, and that was a bad thing for some reason. And that image, in a lot of ways, stuck for the most part. From the reporting and the hints, it appears that, well, the White House has been anything but Mr. Rogers-y lately. There's a lot of tension. There have been reports of at least one screaming match, and certainly hints that it wasn't a singular event. Profanity, just a whole bunch of things. Reporting has come out that during the talks about Rafah, at one point, an Israeli official got, well, let's just call it animated, and was upset. The U.S. officials remained calm and just continued to push the issues, which is what diplomats are supposed to do, but it shows the level of tension there. That same dynamic is kind of being hinted to as occurring inside the White House. Biden has been described as furious, in particular when it comes to the hit on World Central Kitchen. Now, Thursday, Biden and Netanyahu are supposed to talk. The expectation is that Biden is going to use this moment to express his frustrations. We'll see how that goes. It's been hinted that there are animated conversations between different groups within the White House about how to respond to the World Central Kitchen situation. Now, another thing that isn't being reported on, but I am certain that it is part of these animated conversations, is early on, the Biden administration did one thing really well in this. When it comes to stopping it from turning into a regional conflict, they did that, and they did it well. They expended a lot of political capital in the Middle East to accomplish that. A lot of the moves originating from Netanyahu's administration could definitely put that in jeopardy. I would imagine that there are conversations about how the U.S. should respond if their work is undone. We don't know how this talk on Thursday is going to go, though. There is a divided White House as far as the advisors. That much seems pretty clear when you read all the articles and put all the pieces together. Now, what does this mean for policy? Biden can be furious, but if that anger and that disappointment, that frustration, however it is framed, is just words, I mean, what does that mean, you know? So, officially, the hit on World Central Kitchen is not going to change U.S. policy. That's the headline. There are two ways of looking at that. One is the foreign policy perspective. The other is the political one. From a foreign policy perspective and a foreign policy perspective alone, the subtext of U.S. policy isn't changing is important because it means they're focusing all of their efforts on Rafah and stopping an offensive into Rafah. From a foreign policy perspective, that's probably the right move. When you're talking about just the math and the amount of lives at stake, that's probably the right move. As long as it's successful. Because if it's not, the political point of view, oh, it's going to be even worse. But if you're looking at the lack of change in U.S. policy just from a political point of view, asking people to weigh that subtext, that's a big ask. That's a big ask. The American people are very aware of what occurred. I can understand from a foreign policy standpoint wanting to focus on the big picture. From a political standpoint, no change, and that actually being like what's coming out, that's not going to sit well. If they are unsuccessful when it comes to Rafah, that's going to be a big deal. That's going to turn out to be a really bad move. Even a token change would make more sense. So, what does this all mean at the end? Everything hinges on Rafah. Everything hinges on Rafah. Not just the, you know, people who hang in the balance, but the foreign policy implications and the political implications at home. There's a lot of pressure riding on this now. More so than what was originally there, and what was originally there was a lot. If they are successful at deterring an offensive into Rafah, there will be books written about this by the people who were there. If they are unsuccessful, there will be books written about this by people who are criticizing the decisions. It's very high stakes. The conversation, I don't know that we'll find anything out about it, much like the talks, the first set of talks on Rafah. When we talked about it before it happened, I was like, don't trust anything that comes out right away. The best you're going to hope for them to say it was constructive and productive. And they actually used those exact words, which I didn't know was going to happen. And then we find out, yes, apparently it was constructive. There's a follow-up talk, but based on more recent reporting that includes a screaming match, maybe it wasn't as polite a conversation as they let on. The conversation between Biden and Netanyahu is going to be the same thing. Don't put too much into what is initially said, because it's going to be posturing at the beginning until more details come out. There is way more riding on this than is evident at first glance. And understand, what is evident at first glance is hundreds of thousands of lives. There's way more than that. because if this goes the wrong way and a regional conflict flares, we are back to that stage. We are back to the beginning when the conversations were about stopping that. I would imagine that the administration diplomats that were responsible for stopping it the first time are very unhappy about how things are progressing. These are also people that will probably have a lot of influence into how U.S. policy changes if the situation in Rafah is not resolved successfully. So that's what's going on. There's a whole lot. Probably not going to know anything tomorrow, but a lot of it appears to be coming to a head starting tomorrow and then over the next 4 or 5 days. Anyway, it's just a thought. Y'all have a good day.